Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
I want to talk to you tonight, and we want to act on the fact that you have a capacity in God to claim your loved ones. I want to share with you the power of intercession. And our text is in Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Psalm 149, verses 6 to 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. This is talking of the saints. And a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, or literally, upon the nations, and punishments upon the people, and in the Greek that's plural, upon the peoples. Pardon me. So verse 7 reads that the saints will execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples to bind their kings. Now, who is the king of the rebellious nations? Satan, that's right. Corinthians tells us that he's God of this world system. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That's the principalities and powers which Ephesians 6 talks to us about. Verse 9. To execute upon them the judgment written. Now, the only judgment we can execute upon them is that which is written in the Word of God. This honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. This honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in many places in your Word, you give us a glimpse of the authority which you intend us to use as sons and as daughters of you. I pray tonight, as we have a glimpse at one area of this authority, that you will quicken our understanding, that we might be able to move in, not for ourselves tonight, but for our loved ones, and exercise tonight some of that authority which is ours in you. Now help us, Lord, in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm talking to those who are walking with God. I think that's probably all of us, or certainly most of us here tonight. And I want to share with you something of the power that you genuinely do have on behalf of your loved ones. I shared something like this with you some 7 to 8 years ago, but tonight, if some of you remember the first reference I'll come to in a moment, we've added some more to it and opened it up still further. We are in the restoration from the fall, and I think we're all aware of that. But even though we're coming up day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, the church is coming into restoration. There is no doubt we live in restoration days. Even as we come up into that restoration, we need to understand that there is still a blanket of deceit upon us, even upon us in the church. In Isaiah and chapter 25, Isaiah 25 and verse 7, we can read of that. Verse 7 says, "And he will destroy in this mountain." You'll have to believe me, because of lack of time to go back, that this mountain refers to Mount Zion, which is the church. "He will destroy in this mountain," in the church, "the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." So there is a covering. Actually, it's the covering of mourning. I haven't time to go into it. And it's the veil of wretchedness. And over all people in this world, there is a covering of mourning and a veil of wretchedness, according to the word of God. But he's made a promise that in his mountain, Mount Zion, which is the true church, he is going to move, and he's going to destroy, or literally to swallow up, that veil in as far as his people are concerned. I think we're coming into those days more and more, when we are getting a glimpse of who we are, what we are, and the potential we have, and the possibilities that there are in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I'm going to suggest to you that we do something about rising up within ourselves, rising up within our faith, and stop letting the enemy strip from us the authority which genuinely does belong to each one of us in Christ. There are many types of prayer. There's prayer which is ministry to the Lord. There's prayer when we ask from the Lord. There is prayer warfare. There's intercession. There are many other areas of praying. But tonight I'm going to talk for a little while about intercession and the power that we have in intercession. I'd like you to turn to Job 22. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Job 22, just before the Psalms. Job 22 and verse 21. I'm reading from the Amplified. "Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you." Verse 27 to 30. "You will make your prayer to him," to the Lord, "and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. When they make you low, you will say, 'There is a lifting up,' and the humble person he lifts up and saves." Verse 30, "He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands." I'd like to read that last verse again. "He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands." Now, I'm well aware that in reading from Job, this is Eliphaz talking to Job. But this principle I'm going to confirm to you from the New Testament, and you'll see that it is completely accurate. Now, there's two great statements here. First of all, in verse 28, "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you." What a statement. I wonder how many of us really can accept that. "You shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you." Secondly, in verse 30. God will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. He'll be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Tremendous implications here. Implications of the loosing of finance. Implications of breaking sickness. Healing from disease. Delivering from bondages. Mending broken relationships. For God has made a promise to us and given us the capacity in regard to our loved ones. Now, as I talk about the authority that we have and the capacity that we have towards our loved ones, yes, of course, I must admit that we can't break their wills. Everybody has a free will in God. And admittedly, that person for whom we are interceding must finally hand their will over and yield to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, outside of that final fact that they do have their own will, we can pray and intercede. And we can influence the lives of those people. We can break through the barriers that are across their lives. We can reach down into the depths of their difficulties. And we can open those barriers up. We can push aside those difficulties, as it were, and allow the Holy Spirit to move in and woo again and influence again that loved one. You might say, well, the Holy Spirit can do that without us having to pray. Of course he can. He can do whatever he likes. But God has chosen for his own reasons to act through humanity. He acts through us, the vessels through whom he pours. And that's his choice. And that's the way he operates. So we have a potential and a tremendous capacity here to reach down into the lives of our loved ones. I could share with you many actual true experiences. There's one man I think of at this moment who was a professional man, and he claimed to be a Christian, but in fact did nothing about it. There's no evidence of it in his life. He's not a church attender, but his wife was. And she came to me, he was being dishonest in his business, and the type of activity he was in allowed him, if he wished to be dishonest with other people's monies. And he was being dishonest with the monies of others. He was defrauding both people and taxation, and she finally came to me tremendously worried because the whole thing was increasing in scope, and she felt it was only a matter of time he'd be discovered and as a result would be in serious difficulty. And I said, well, there's two things. First, you can speak to him and see if he'll come and speak to me. She said, there's not a hope. I really know. I said, well, that offer's open. If you can get him to speak to me or even ring me up, I'll come and see him. That's one offer. But she assured me there's no hope, but I left the possibility there. Then I said, secondly, why don't you move into real intercession for him? Why don't you reach down into those depths of his life where whatever it is causing him to offend in this way, and break that thing in his life and open the way for the Holy Spirit to move in and woo him and touch him and influence him? So she said, well, all right, I'm willing to do that. So we had some prayer, and she did that. And she reported to me from time to time. She even got discouraged at one stage as the weeks rolled by, and she said, nothing's happening. I said, of course something is happening. You're praying, you're interceding, you're using your authority. Something is definitely happening. You just hang in there. And then one day, the exciting thing happened, and she said, I just knew that God had acted and that my husband would see you if I spoke to him, and I spoke to him and he said yes. And she said, if you'll see him, he's willing to see you. So I saw him and we discussed the matter, and I said, there's only one thing to do now. First of all, you've got to make good that money which you've appropriated, which was not yours. He said, I'm willing to do that and I have the money to do it. And I said, you've got to go to taxation. He said, well, I wouldn't have the money to pay them. And he said, that could be a fairly serious thing for me. I said, yes, but if you go to them, it will not be as serious as if you're caught. Then you will go to jail, most probably. If you go to them, you won't go to jail, that is for sure. But they will help you, they'll be considerate, and you'll find that they'll give you many years to pay off what you owe. So he took my advice. He first of all paid back the people that he'd defrauded, and then he went to taxation, laid the whole thing out. I offered to go with him, but he said, no, we'll save that in case I need you later. And he went, and they were very good to him. They accepted his repentance, as it were. They worked out something that he could do in repayments, and that took him some years. And now the situation is that the whole thing has been cleared, and he is doing better in business than he had been doing in the old days. And because that heaviness and that guilt was lifted from his life, he was able to move into the things of the Lord. That was an outstanding example, and that took about, from memory, something like 10 or 12 weeks. It had been going on for years, and this woman said she had been praying, the wife, for years about it. But she never set course, taking this authority that was hers and interceding specifically for a specific definite thing to break the power of that dishonesty in his life, to so break it that the Holy Spirit can move in and touch that life and influence it. And when she became specific, and we need to be specific in our prayers, we need to be specific when we get before the Lord in these matters. Another situation in the assembly where a parent was sick, and I was told by one of the grown-up children that she was very resentful also. I won't bore you with the whole story because it's not relevant. And I tried to do something about the situation without any success at all. I was very strongly and immediately rejected. So we saw this daughter and a son, as a matter of fact, and suggested to them that they move in an intercession, and not so much against the sickness, but to get rid of this biting, devouring resentment that was in her, which in my mind was the obvious thing that was destroying her. And so they did, and they set to, and I can't remember how long it was, but it wasn't an inordinate time. And finally, that woman broke. She evidently got to the stage where she allowed the Holy Spirit to influence her, and she was willing for me to come to her, to pray with her, as she poured out her story of her resentment and why, and having poured it out, she then repented of it before the Lord, broke down and wept, and it was a very real repentance. Took the cleansing of the blood of Jesus upon her life, a very moving and very real and genuine experience. And as a result of that, within 3 months, that woman began to, she was up out of bed, she began to improve dramatically, and as far as I know at this moment, there's none of the old difficulty there. Her sickness was, without doubt in this case, coming from this deep-seated resentment that was in her life. Oh, I could tell you many stories, and because of time, I better stop there. We're talking from experience when we say you can reach down into a loved one's life. I don't mean just those of you who might be walking with the Lord in such a way that you rarely feel that you're making it, that your relationship with the Lord is just so wonderful, that your obedience to the Word is right on top, and that you rarely feel that you're attaining holiness and obedience and separation and in a major degree. That's wonderful, if you can say that. But I'm talking to others who might feel discouraged because they couldn't say, that's me. Even if it's not you, I'm talking to believers. If you are a believer, a genuine one, and your heart's perfect before the Lord, even though you have inadequacies in your walk, even though you have inadequacies in your obedience and in your relationship with the Lord, if you're walking with Him and your heart's perfect toward Him, what I'm sharing with you tonight, this law, this principle, is truth and is for you, and you can exercise it on behalf of your loved ones. Immediately in many minds will come the thought, but the person I want to pray with, that father, that mother, husband, wife, son, daughter, whoever it is, they're not innocent. They are at this very moment deeply involved in some habit pattern which is very sinful and unclean. But the word we read says, even if they are not innocent, in verse 30. God will deliver, because of our intercession, the one for whom you intercede, even though he is not innocent. If you're innocent, well, I guess you wouldn't need your intercession. So yes, God's willing to break through the evil and the sin and the rebellion and the disobedience in a person and touch that person's life and begin to draw that person to him, never breaking his will, we can't do that, but so influencing that person that by an act of their own will, they finally say, yes, Lord, I'm going to return to you, or I'm going to come to you. I'm going to put away that evil. I'm going to put away that habit pattern. I'm going to break that lust. I'm going to break that deceit, or whatever it may be, even though they are not innocent. We have proof of that in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus had that woman taken in adultery brought to him. And you'll remember that he who was the giver of the law, one would imagine, would have exercised the law. And what he should have done, according to the law, was to say, well, stone her. But the very one who had every right to say, stone her, didn't stone her, but dealt with those who had brought her, dealt with the accusers, and when they had all left, talked to her, comforted her, allowed her to go with the exhortation to sin no more. That's quite remarkable, but there was a case in point where, despite what the law said, despite the person was not innocent, yet there was forgiveness for that person. We have authority. In Luke 10 and verse 19, you'll read something about it. I'd like to turn it up. I'm going to read it again in the Amplified. Luke 10 and verse 19, very familiar scripture to most of you. Luke 10, verse 19. The Lord Jesus speaking. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon scorpions and upon serpents and scorpions. Now, serpents and scorpions in this context talk about the demonic powers of the kingdom of darkness. That's talking about the power to trample upon demonic powers, to put them upon under your feet and to crush them. And physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. What a scripture. Let me read it again. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah. What an authority the Lord's given us. Why don't we use it more often? Why don't we think on these things? Why don't we react to these things? Why don't we take hold of an authority that God has given us? It's not power, it's authority. The enemy has power, but we have authority. We've told the story so often. Let me remind you again. The policeman on point duty and the 30-ton truck coming down the highway toward him. Who's got the power, the policeman or the truck? Truck's got the power. Who's got the authority? Puts his hand up and the truck stops, hopefully. Normally. Yes, the truck stops because that policeman, whilst he has no power to stop that truck in the physical sense, has the authority of the nation behind him. He has the authority of the police force, and behind that he has the authority of the government, and behind that the authority of the nation. He stands for something, and that truck driver responds to that policeman. We have authority. We mightn't feel we have the power to handle Satan, and that's true. Satan is a mighty created being, and although he's fallen, he undoubtedly, in his own kingdom, has power. The Bible says that. We don't have to wrestle with his power. We have authority to stand against him. And he must respond. And his serpents and scorpions, his demonic powers, must respond to the authority we exert, providing we are exerting it with faith and confidence in the name of the living Christ. I wonder how many of you rarely realize and accept that you do have power to change your situations in the lives of your loved ones. Power to change situations to the extent that you can open the way for the Holy Spirit to flow in and begin to woo that person again. Now, the New Testament supports all I'm saying. 1 John 5, verse 16 and 17. 1 John, first epistle general of John. 1 John 5, verse 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, we don't have to worry here tonight about what is the sin unto death. Let me just say that the sin unto death is a continuous course of sin. It's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, not just by an expression of the lips, but by a course of life which is set knowingly to go against the will of God continuously in a condition of sin, with full knowledge of what one's doing and with a determination to disobey God, to rebel against him, and to just scorn him openly in your life. It's a very rare situation. It's a state that I don't think we have to worry about particularly here tonight. So reading 16 again, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, which is most sins, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. That's the unforgivable sin. 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. All right, so the New Testament confirms what we read in Job. I'm going to read Matthew 18 and verse 18. You might like to turn to that. This is very important. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be already permitted in heaven. Now that's a little different than the authorized. And we need to understand that whatever we declare down here, we are interceding, we are using authority, and remember it's got to be the authority of what is written. We read that in Psalm 149. Then we must be sure that our intercession is in accord with the Word of God. And we can't declare, we can't intercede, we can't exercise that authority outside of what has already been established. So verse 18 says, if you want to forbid something as being unlawful, it must already be forbidden in heaven. If you want to permit something here on earth, it must already be permitted in heaven. Verse 19, again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, making a symphony, and there's more than two of us here tonight, anything and everything, whatever they shall ask, it shall come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. Providing verse 18 is functioning. Verse 18 is that you don't decree and ask that which is not already established in heaven. All right? That's very clear. Let's quickly consider then what has been loosed in heaven, because we want to loose our loved ones tonight. What has been loosed in heaven? Well, that would take me many hours to tell you, but I'll give you a few thoughts. Romans 6 says that he that is dead is freed from sin. So the righteous who are dead in Christ are loosed from the power of sin. 1 Peter 2 says, by his stripes we are healed. So healing has been established in heaven. And many other things, endurance, blessing, cleansing, deliverance, forgiveness, guidance, health, mercy, pardon, peace, protection, salvation, spiritual gifts, strength, wisdom, provision. And so I could go on. Each of those are scriptural things which have been established in heaven as being our right as Christians and the right of our loved ones. Yes, there's a mighty range of things which are available to the Christian. Let me give you a couple of examples very quickly. Numbers 14. Here's a wonderful illustration of the power of intercession. Numbers 14, verse 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. Or make of thee, Moses, a greater nation and a mightier than they. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. And away he goes in the next few verses to tell the Lord that if he destroys the Israelites out there in the wilderness, the Egyptians and other nations round about are going to say, well, God brought them out here, made them a promise, and he wasn't able to fulfill it. Now they're all dead. He said, you can't do that, Lord. Your promise would not be fulfilled. Verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. That's what they'll say, he said. 19 to 20, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Here he is interceding. According unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. How incredible. A few minutes before, he's going to wipe them out with pestilence and said to Moses, I'll raise another nation through you. But because Moses pleaded and reasoned and said, God, what are the Egyptians going to say? You said you're going to bring them into the promised land. They're going to say, God wasn't able to do it. So he smote them and killed them because he wasn't able to do it. He said, you can't do it, Lord.
Oh, I beseech you, Lord, forgive their iniquity. And the Lord said, okay, unto you, according to your desire, the power of intercession. Can God change his mind? Is that possible? Psalm 106 and verse 23. Therefore God said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Same story, put in a nutshell. Moses stood in the breach and interceded, and the wrath of God was turned away, and instead of destruction, instead of judgment, there was forgiveness. What a beautiful story. If we're going to move in this realm, there are some conditions for you. We haven't got a magic wand, and in everything in God there are conditions. Let me touch just two or three of them very briefly. We must be committed and obedient. I'm not going into the scriptures. We must be committed and obedient. Secondly, all known sin must be dealt with in our life. We can't come to God and start interceding if we are consciously, knowingly committing sin. God demands purity. Those of you who are making notes, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Thirdly, there must be forgiveness. Mark 11, 26. The Lord said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. If you won't forgive, God won't forgive you. Very clear. So there must be forgiveness in our lives if we want anything from God. We can't expect his forgiveness and mercy and grace unless we are exercising it ourselves. And lastly, there must be an exercise of faith. Mark 11, 24, whatever you ask in prayer, believing and trusting, you'll get it. Providing the conditions are met, that you're only asking for what's been established already in heaven, you're asking according to the word, and you're asking as the committed, obedient, pure Christian who is not living in sin and whose faith is sufficient to reach out past the natural realm, out into that realm of the Spirit where these things become reality and not theory, so that you can put them into effect because of your faith operating. Amen? Amen. I want to challenge you tonight then. If you're walking with God, God is ready to respond to your faith. I want you to put aside your sense knowledge and begin to move out there into that realm of the Holy Spirit, into that realm of the Spirit, into that dimension of the Spirit where these things, instead of being hoped for things, instead of being maybe things, suddenly become reality in your personal life. What if you're willing to believe what the Word of God has said to us tonight? I wonder if you have a loved one who has a great need tonight, right at this moment. It might be sickness, it might be disease, it might be away from God, living in sin, wrong habit patterns, wrong associations, bound in some way by the powers of darkness. And those chains can be terrible chains, can be chains of lust, can be chains of desires, of habit patterns which have developed over the years, drinking and gambling and drugs and illicit sex and wrong reading and wrong company. You all know the things I'm talking about. There's no end to them. I wonder if you've got a loved one somewhere. These things touch that loved one, perhaps just unsaved.
which is the worst of the lot.
I believe tonight, if you wish, you can decree that they are to be saved. I believe tonight, if your faith is strong enough, you can decree that they should be delivered or set free, whatever their particular needs are. I say again, we can't break their will, but we can open them up to that influence of the Holy Spirit. You've got a husband who's out of the Lord? Then I say, stop nagging and start interceding. A wife out of the Lord, then stop rejecting and start interceding. Children not going on with the Lord, stop criticizing them and start interceding for them. You're making notes, Job 1, 4 and 5 is beautiful there. Parents who are unsaved, don't cut them off, but start interceding for them. A broken marriage, or one that's on the way to being broken, then stop the antagonism now and start interceding. Make sure before you start that there is genuine forgiveness in your heart. Young people in wrong relationships, stop being downcast about it. No use to continually be on their backs about it. Start interceding for them in a very real and positive way. Life situation in some other way which is wrong and causing frustration. You can decree tonight before the throne of God, whatever the need is, that that thing be broken in their life, that the Holy Spirit might have opportunity, because of our intercession, to move past those broken down barriers and begin to woo that person once again. Salvation, healing, deliverance, some other provision in a person's life. We can, the Bible says, deliver others by our own clean hands. Word says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. What if you're ready tonight? Some of you will be. To receive what I've said. To believe what I've said. To believe what the Bible says. To rise up sufficiently in your faith to begin to exercise the authority that you have in the living Christ, whom you confess at this moment.